How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello, welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. This is Laura Cheadle, and if you have tuned in for the first time this week, congratulations! It is going to be such a fun show, and I hope you are going to learn so much and be so inspired. And if you are a regular listener, thank you from the bottom of my sparkly little heart for being here. What I'd like to talk about today is the concept of transitions. Transitions are an inevitable part of life, and for some reason, none of us really like them. Now, as a hypnotherapist, I can tell you exactly why we don't like them. But knowing cognitively why we don't like transitions and being able to deal with the emotions of not liking transitions are two completely different animals. So, I'm going to start in with the explanation as to why we don't like transitions, and then I'm going to jump right in to some of the work. I'm going to do some work, but I had to pause on that one. Some of the work, some of the tools, and some of the emotional things that you can do to help whenever you are going through a transition. Does that sound good? I hope that sounds good. And as usual, oh my gosh, I love to talk, as you can probably tell because I'm a radio host, but I love to talk. So if you want to discuss this with me, don't hesitate to reach out. You can call or text at 303-994-4945. You can email me, Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Facebook is super fun because you can find my profile, Laura Plank Cheadle, or you can join my Flaunt flock and be one of my Flauntesses, and we can talk all the time. Does that sound good? Yes, I hope it all sounds wonderful. So are you ready? Let's move into transitions. All right, the reason we don't like transitions is because of our brain. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Our brain is very similar to a computer program, a computer. When you've got the computer, you have kind of that mainframe, the kind of base programming that runs everything. And then you can layer different programs on top of that. Like you can layer a word processing program on top of it. You can layer a tax prep program on top of it. You can run different video games. You can run a photo program. You can run all of these different programs on your computer. And that is exactly what our brain is like. It's like the main computer. And then we run different programs in our brain. Like if you are a, if you're an accountant, because I mentioned a tax prep program, you might run the program of what it means to be an accountant. But when you come home at night, you are probably not exactly as you are when you were in the working environment acting as an accountant. You're probably a little bit more relaxed. You may be running the program when you get home of wife or husband or parent. You might be running another program altogether, but you probably are not running the entire work program when you're home. By the same token, when you are in the presence of young kids, or even kids who are a little bit older, you probably act a little bit different than you do when you are with your peers. We all run these different programs. We're more polite with certain people. We are more assertive with certain people. And that's all good. Those are all programs that we run. But that base self, that base program is our brain. And that's who we really are. So, who we really are knows the programs that we run. And then it gets comfortable with those various programs. If you have siblings, you are probably comfortable knowing what it's like to be a sister or a brother because you've been that before. If you are a son or a daughter, you know what it means to be a son or a daughter. If you're a mother or a father, you know what that means. But think about before you had kids. Think about maybe that first day that you had to bring your newborn baby home from the hospital. You probably had some anxiety. You probably wondered, can I do this? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How does this work? And that's normal. It's just like the first day of a new job. You're all excited, but then you start thinking about it and you go, oh my gosh, I can't cope. I don't know what to do. And then after a week or after a month, it's old hat and there's no anxiety about going in anymore. Unless, of course, you're starting another new program or working with a new boss or something like that. And then, yes, you have some anxiety. So, transitions come from running new programs that you have not previously run before. And that's normal because your brain, my brain, all of our brains are structured to be efficient. And that means when we know what's going on, we're confident and we're efficient. And when we don't know what's going on, we get anxious because we don't know if we're going to be safe. We don't know if we're going to be happy. We don't know if we're going to be alive. I mean, if you really get down to it, our brain, our subconscious brain, is what keeps us alive and functioning. If we are out in the wilderness, in the wild somewhere, and we're walking along by a stream, we know we have water. We know we can survive because we have water. Now, rescue, civilization, help might be away from the stream, and we might be able to safely get there, but we don't know it. So when we turn and try to walk away from the stream, our mind says, danger! Danger! Don't do this. You don't know what's going to be there. So it's a mechanism that we all have, that all animals have, to keep ourselves safe. But when we are undergoing transition, even if it's a transition that we like, and even if we can rationally think and decide and plan and know that the transition is going to be good for us, our brain still kicks us into that fight, flight, or freeze mentality. So now you understand why you feel anxious. You feel anxious when you're undergoing a transition because it's the brain's job to keep you safe. That anxiety is a defense mechanism. That anxiety is there to keep you safe. So that's why it happens, because the brain does not know what it is like to do anything different than it normally is doing or normally has done. Now, I've given a lot of examples about things that we have all overcome. For instance, every time we get a new job, we probably end up going to our job. It's not that we completely break down and say, I can't do it. I mentioned having a baby. It's not that we have a baby and then we freak out and we realize we can't bring the baby home from the hospital. We are capable of pushing through transitions. It's just that sometimes it's easier And sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. But we do it. We all know how to do it. And my job today is to just kind of talk with you about some of these transitions and give you some tools and tips and tricks on how to make these transitions easier. And now that you understand why it's difficult, because you're installing a new program or you're upgrading an old program, now that you understand why it's difficult, at least you'll have that cognitive piece down. At least you'll know, I'm not crazy. It's not me. I'm not crazy. And then you will be able to navigate the transition a little more evenly and with a little less emotional trauma. And if not, that's okay too. Every time we make a transition, it builds our capacity to be able to transition. You may or may not know some people who were raised in a military family. But if you do, you will realize that those people who move a lot learn how to move a lot. They might not like it, they might hate it, but they know the process because they've done it. And even though the process is different every time because they're leaving different friends and different schools and different homes, their transition muscle has been built up. And at least they are a little bit more capable. They know they are more capable of making that transition. So, let's talk about transitions. Right now, it's fall. There's a lot of kiddos going back to school. There's a lot of college kids moving away from home for the first time. And there's a lot of parents out there who suddenly are in a completely new phase of life. Their baby's going to preschool 3 days a week for half days. Their kindergartner is going away every day for the first time. Your college student is leaving you. Your last child is leaving you and you're becoming an empty nester. This time of year, there's a lot of people going through a lot of transitions. So, if you feel anxious, please know that it is not just you. These kids, even though they may have been in school for 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is, it's a new teacher. It's a new classroom. And yes, they've done it before, so it's easier, but there's still that heightened sense of anxiety. So what can you do for you, for your kids? It doesn't matter if you're a teacher and you're receiving a new class, or if you're a child and you're going into a new class, or if you're a parent and everything is shifting around you. What can you do to help ease the transition? All right. The first thing you can do is bring some cognitive awareness and some cognitive understanding to the process. And you know, we just did a little bit of that. We talked about why transitions are difficult. So knowing that is kind of the first piece. Understanding that you're not crazy, understanding that everybody feels it too, is really the first thing you can do to tone down your anxiety and to help ease the transition. The second thing you can do is explore everything you can about this transition. And what I mean by that is gather information. Find out about the teacher. Find out about who is in your class. Read some blogs about parents who have already sent kids to kindergarten or to college. Gather information. Talk with people. If you're really nervous, you can talk to other people who have worked at the same place you're about to work. You can talk to other parents who have taken kids to that school. You can talk to other people who have been divorced, who have gotten married, who have had kids, who have been in a similar circumstance to you. And when you gather that information, you will suddenly be aware of some things that you hadn't previously been aware of before. Now, let me give you a great example on how to do that and why that's important. As a hypnotherapist, I work with clients in dealing with transitions. I work with clients on things like sports performance, athletic performance, school performance. And what I do whenever I am working with people, I take them through a mental rehearsal. A mental rehearsal is just like what it sounds like. It's a rehearsal. We are rehearsing whatever that person is about to do. If it's athletic performance, and maybe they have to compete in, say, a tennis match, I walk them through a tennis match mentally. If I'm working with a student and they've got anxiety about the new school year, I walk them through the first day of school. I walk them through lunch in the cafeteria. I walk them through recess on the playground. If it's a child going to college, I will walk them through being in a dorm and seeing their new roommate walk through those doors for the first time. I walk them through walking into class, maybe not being prepared for a test. I walk them through buying textbooks. I walk them through getting lost on campus and having to ask for help. I walk them through this whole scenario of what might happen. And what's amazing about that is sometimes we are able to create in our minds the whole list of things that we know might happen. But oftentimes our minds will also create this entire list of things that we hadn't thought of before. And that is so valuable because if and when it does happen, at least we've had a heads up. We've had that insight and that tip off that, hey, this could happen. For example, when I work with people on weight loss, which is also a transition, I walk them through different relationships. Because sometimes when we change, not sometimes, I will be bold. I will go out on a limb and I will say always when we change our physical appearance, we inspire a different response from other people. Sometimes that response is positive. Oh my gosh, you look so good. I've been meaning to take up fitness. I've been meaning to start a new diet and you have inspired me because you look amazing. But sometimes we inspire jealousy or we threaten somebody because we have done something that they have always dreamed about doing but have just never done because of fear or whatever. So then when they see us, they have this weird emotional reaction because we've threatened them. We have threatened the status quo. We have put in front of their face that, hey, you could have done this. This could have been you and you didn't. Or something like, wow, you look good and I don't. But whatever it is, we can inspire some negative reaction from our positive behavior. And by mentally rehearsing, we're able to plan and prepare and understand the reasons behind that. So we're not all of a sudden caught off guard and, you know, taken down and heaping sobbing mess on the floor. We understand, oh my gosh, I must have threatened them. I inadvertently triggered something in them about them, not about me. I triggered something in them and it is about them. It's not about me. And because we've had that heads up in the mental rehearsal, we're able to deal with it. We're able to formulate a cohesive response in the moment instead of being completely flustered and undone by their comment. So that's the next thing you can do. Besides by being aware and seeking information, you can mentally rehearse. you can walk yourself through what this transition looks like based on the information that you have gathered. And you can really help yourself figure out how it's going to feel, what is going to come up in you, what might come up in other people. And then when you go to do it, it's like you're not doing it for the first time. It's like you were doing it for the second time or the third time. And it just makes it a little bit easier. Now, it's not like it makes it completely easy, but it makes it a little bit easier. So those are my top recommendations on what to do to deal with the anxiety that comes from transition. Now, here's another piece of that I also want to bring in. We are whole and complete beings. And what I mean by that is we have physical bodies. We have mental bodies. We have emotional bodies. We have spiritual bodies. We are complete beings. And when we make a change in one of our bodies, the rest of our bodies need to become congruent with that change so we can feel better. So let's take weight loss as the first example, because that is a very physical thing. If we lose weight, our bodies physically change. But our thoughts might not change. Our emotions might not change. And our spirituality might not change. And why that matters is because there are thoughts and emotions and beliefs that we have that correlate to our overweight or normal weight status. Let me tell you a story. When I was in my first job as a lawyer in California, I worked in a law firm where our front desk lady, the gal who, you know, took all the phone calls and ushered clients in, where she had recently had a surgery to help her with her Crohn's disease. And what this surgery did was take out incredibly large portions of her intestines. And I can't remember how incredibly large those portions were, but I remember it was something crazy, like they took out like 30 feet of intestines or something like that, because they were so damaged because of her Crohn's disease. So what that did is it caused her to lose weight at an alarming rate, because we absorb our nutrients in our intestines. And she no longer had intestines, so she was no longer absorbing nutrients, which meant she was no longer absorbing calories either, which meant she lost weight rapidly. And going in, she was overweight. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember how overweight she was because I did not know her at that time, but it was pretty significantly overweight. So what would happen to her after she had the surgery, something crazy like after 200 pounds dropped off in something ridiculous like 3 months, her body had changed, but her mind hadn't. She still thought of herself as a fat woman, as an overweight woman, as someone who took up space, as someone who was not appealing physically. And she would tell stories about going in and seeing chairs or seeing like a space on a couch and not sitting there and having people say, "Why didn't you sit by me?" And her response was, "Oh, well, I won't fit there." Or, "Why didn't you sit in the blue chair?" And she would say, "I can't fit in a chair like that." Or, "That, you know, stool is too small for my weight. It won't support me." She didn't realize that she could fit. She didn't realize that she could sit on a smaller stool because her mind hadn't adjusted to her physicality. Now, on an emotional level, she hadn't adjusted either. She was still in the mindset, in the belief that she was not attractive because of her weight and that men wouldn't find her attractive. And then suddenly, there were men who were paying attention to her in ways that she had not had before, and she didn't understand it. And it really took quite a while for that congruence to develop, for her to realize, I am thin, I can fit. People will pay attention to me. Same thing in buying clothes. She was habitually buying clothes that were too large because she couldn't wrap her head around how small she really had become. So I hope that kind of makes sense. It's that congruence between our different emotional bodies that will also help us in transition. In realizing that, yes, although something might change rapidly physically, it hasn't changed in the other areas of our life. And by the same token, that can happen with so many different things. We can have an emotional shift and our bodies won't catch up. We can have a spiritual shift and our emotions won't catch up. It works in all different ways. It was just the example that I gave kind of took it the one direction because that was a pretty clear-cut one that I think a lot of us could relate to. So, think about the congruence around your transition. If you are transitioning to be a parent, you understand that you now have a physical child. But what does that mean to you emotionally? If you have been like this heavy drinking party person, does it mean suddenly you have to switch your identity and that you're going to lose friends because suddenly you can't go out every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night because you have a baby at home? Do you have some spiritual beliefs or emotional beliefs wrapped up in parenthood, the sacred nature of it? If you've had a baby out of wedlock and you have religious and familial or societal beliefs that is a bad, shameful thing, having a baby is going to be a completely different emotional experience than it is if you don't have those beliefs. So start exploring what your transition means on all different levels. Explore that and start seeing ways you can create congruence for yourself around that transition. Right now, my youngest is heading away to college. It means I'm going to transition into being an empty nester. I have different beliefs around that. I have different mindsets around that. I feel differently about that than some of my friends do. I feel differently about that because of some of the things I have put in place and created for myself in anticipation of making this transition a little bit easier. So that's what I mean by look at the different aspects of self and see what you can do in each realm to make that transition a little bit easier. I have talked to people. I registered myself for a brand new mentorship program, so I will suddenly be more focused on myself and my business. I am doing some different things in my marriage. I am doing a lot to help me navigate this change. I am eating a little bit different, and I am doing some different physical activity as well because now I have the time to do that. And it's making me feel healthy and it's making me feel powerful. So Those are some great examples. Look at yourself in all different areas and see what you can do in each area to help facilitate that transition. And I promise you, like I said earlier, from the bottom of my sparkly little heart, that it will help and that you will feel better because of it. Alrighty, we are at the halfway point of the show, and I just wanted to take a few minutes here again to talk about some new exciting stuff that I have going on. And then for the second half of the show, what we are going to do is we are going to move in to a grounding and centering meditation that you can use anytime. So download this show. Please, please, please download the show. You can edit it down so you just have the second part. But this way you can use this meditation in order to help you facilitate transition. And in particular, we're going to go through the things that I already talked about. So there will be that congruence. And you will know what you need to do in order to work on that transition. Okay, but before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about me and some of the new exciting stuff that I have going on. Like I said earlier, I have got my Facebook group called Flaunt Flop, and that is just a page where we support each other in mind, in body, in spirit, where we share insightful pieces of information, where we share health, fitness, mental tips, tricks, things like that. So please search out Flaunt, F-L-A-U-N-T, Flock online and go ahead and join. That group is for men and women, for the young, for the old, for anybody who's just interested in self-exploration, self-development. And join me. And it's also just all free and fun. Now, if you love the meditation that I do at the end of the show and you want more, I have several available for purchase on my website, www.lauracheadle.com. I also have several free ones available on my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel is Laura Cheadle Life Choreographer, because that's who I am. Laura is L-O-R-A, Cheadle is C-H-E-A-D-L-E, Life Choreographer. Now, I do know choreographer is a doozy to spell, but you know what? That's okay. And with autocorrect, you're going to find me. I also have a lot of yoga videos and workout videos online. And those are important because they help us integrate feelings in our bodies. For example, this past Monday, yes, it was this past Monday, I did a really deep yoga practice. And that yoga practice was specifically designed to help integrate change into our bodies. So like I talked about, exploring the different facets of self, I am becoming an empty nester. That doesn't really change who I am physically, but that new identity does need to be integrated into my physical body in order for me to have that complete transition. I've got another great story about transition that I'm going to share with you. I have a dear, dear friend who recently got married. That is a huge transition as well. It's shifting the identity from single person to married person. It's shifting the expectations. As a single person, we typically can do a variety of things. We're typically in charge of our own finances. We don't have to call and check in and ask. As a married person, there's different expectations. Now, whether you buy into those expectations for yourself personally, or whether you are just aware that the society that you live in has those expectations, it still impacts you because suddenly you have to wrestle with and grapple with those beliefs. And being brave enough to say, hey, I hold these beliefs, or you know what, I don't hold those beliefs at all, and here are my beliefs. And then you might have to explain to people why you do or do not hold those beliefs, and it changes it. So she is going through a huge period of transition. And on the spiritual realm, what happened to her in her particular transition is she and her new husband were both upgrading their spirit guides. Because they chose to get married, they are choosing a new and different spiritual path, and they each got new spirit guides to help them in this new phase of their life. So not only did they have all the emotional stuff and all the societal stuff, they also had that real spiritual change. And you know what? That felt disconcerting. So I just wanted to throw that in because that was another example of how sometimes things are going on beneath the surface or in the spiritual realm that we can't really see, that we can't really wrap our heads around, but it does impact us. Anyway, I think that is enough about me and all the super cool fun stuff I have available to help you. I think that is enough talking headspace information about the navigation of transition. So now I wanted to go into your ooey gooey yummy juicy meditation. If you are driving, be aware that this is a very relaxing file that can put you into a state of hypnosis. Oftentimes, we drive in a state of hypnosis anyway because watching the road move puts us into a state of hypnosis. So, if you are driving, please stay aware or please pause. If you are at home or at work and you can kind of focus, perfect. Go for it. Sit up tall, prop yourself up, go outside. Sit under a tree, put in your earbuds, whatever it is, really get into it. But this meditation is specifically designed to integrate all parts of you, your mind, your body, your spirit, your emotions, to help facilitate this transition. So just be mindful that you are going to have a lot of feels. You are going to have a lot of stuff coming up. And also be mindful that if you feel uncomfortable when you listen to this, that is okay too. Because when we experience that discomfort, it's really our mind throwing up resistance, and we're able to overcome that resistance in the meditation instead of having that resistance pop up in our lives and then being forced to overcome it on the spot. So if you have some resistance pop up, know that that's a good thing because then you've worked through it. And if you want to use this recording several times, you can do that as well. And because we're integrating this in all parts of our being, I'm also going to have you do some movement. So again, if you're at work, if you're at home, you can stand up and you can kind of do this physical movement, and that will help move things into your body as well. So yes, this is different than your traditional, typical sit back, totally relax, meditate, sit back, totally relax, go into a state of hypnosis. So with that said, are you ready? Find a pretty comfortable spot. And what I want you to do is begin by thinking, because that is how this process begins. And I want you to begin by thinking about your transition, whatever that transition may be, big, small. And it may be a transition that is about to happen. It may be a transition that has recently happened. Or it may be a transition that you were just contemplating, but you haven't completely bought into yet. And no matter what that is okay. Now, you may want to write down what the transition is, and you may just want to think about it. But no matter if you were writing it down, or dictating it into your phone, or simply thinking about it, I want you to try to put it in 1 to 3 sentences. I am getting a new job. My grandmother passed away. I am now the oldest generation in my family. I am having a baby. I am becoming a mother. Write it down in fairly matter-of-fact terms what it is that you are doing. I am leaving my family and moving to a different country. Whatever it is, write it down in 1 to 3 very factual sentences. And this becomes your anchor point. So hang and be with that anchor point. And look at it. If you have written it down, look at it. If you have dictated it into your phone, take a few moments and hear yourself saying what it is that you are doing. If you are simply thinking about it, just think the sentence through your mind. See it written out in your mind's eye. And just give yourself a few minutes to be with that transition. Now, start slowly moving into some deeper thought about what that transition means for you. Becoming a mother means loss of freedom. It means I can no longer be sexy. It means what? Being an empty nester means I am now old. I am now useless. It means I now have pressure to become something myself. It means I have to shift identities. Moving jobs, moving homes, moving states means I have to make new friends. It means I have to prove myself all over again. Think about what it is that that transition means for you mentally. And it doesn't have to make sense. Nobody is provoking you or questioning you. So give yourself a few minutes and think about everything that that transition means for you. Rational or irrational. And just be with that. Now, once again, if you want to write down what it means for you, you can do that. If you want to dictate what it means for you, you can do that. And if you just want to think about what it means for you, you can do that as well. You might have one thought that came up. You might have 3 thoughts that came up, and you may have 100 thoughts that came up. No matter what it is, write each feeling on a separate sheet of paper or a separate side of paper. Just give yourself enough space. If you're doing voice memos, use a different voice memo for each thing that comes up. Now, under each thing that has come up. Write those emotions. And it doesn't have to be rational. It can be something like, becoming an empty nester means I have to form a new identity. And that scares me because I don't know what I want to do. It might be something like, getting married means I now need to work with somebody else on finances. And that scares me because I like control over my own money. Whatever it is, try to tune into the feeling. I am scared. I am happy. I am afraid. Whatever it is, tune into that feeling. And if you can do that feeling for each thought, for each cognitive thing, for each cognitive sentence, feeling, idea, belief, that would be wonderful. And if some of those feelings are the same, like if everything goes back to fear, that's fine. And if you find that you have fear and anxiety and confusion and frustration, that's fine too. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's just exploring that. And take a few minutes just to be with that. You have intellectualized the transition. You have found the emotions behind all facets of what that transition means to you. Now, I want you to go one level deeper. And I want you to see if you can determine where these emotions came from. Do you feel the way that you do because you have been told to feel that way? Is it because your family believes it? Because your culture believes it? If you are getting married and suddenly you feel like you've lost your freedom, is that truly your belief? Or is that something that you have picked up from watching other people have a marriage where they do lose their freedom? If you were afraid of not being competent in your new job, is that because of you and truly because of your lack of skill? Or is that a fear that is just a typical fear that's floating out there in society that everybody has? See if you can move one level deeper and find where that fear comes from. Because if it comes from you, we will deal with it differently than if it comes from somebody else. So take a few minutes and go deeper. Now, what I want you to do is take all of those different emotions, all of those different fears, all of those different cognitive thoughts around your transition. And I want you to see if you can figure out where they lie in your body. Is the fear in your solar plexus? Is the confusion in your brain? Is the stuck feeling in your hands? See if it's somewhere in your body, and if so, where? Take a few minutes. See if you can identify. Write down where those emotions are in your body. And if you can't identify it, you can just say general or don't know. Now what I want you to do is take one of those, just one. Maybe all you have is one, maybe you have 200, but just take one. Take one emotion that you can feel in your body, and I want you to start moving that part of your body. Like if you feel fear in your solar plexus, Start doing some rib circles one way and then the other. Start popping that solar plexus, using your breath to move it in and out. If you feel anxiety around your shoulders, circle your shoulders, squeeze them up, press them down. If you feel confusion in your head, touch your head, move your head, breathe into your head. Find a way that you can move that body part. And if there's more than one, move it through every body part. So take a few minutes now just to identify and to move those different body parts. Good. Move, wiggle. Think about what it is you're moving. I am moving anxiety out of my solar plexus. I am moving stress and tension out of my shoulders. I am rubbing my forehead and I am rubbing away the uncertainty of not being able to see my future. Rub your head, pull your hair gently, circle your fingers into your hair, onto your temples, on your ears, and say, I feel so scared that nobody is going to like me, and I feel that all prickly at the back of my neck and at my head, and touch it and move it, and verbalize or think those sensations as you move that body part. Now, lastly, what I want you to do is for each sentence, for each fear, for each concern, I want you to take 3 breaths. And with each breath, I want you to affirm, even though I, and it can be, don't know how I'm going to figure out what it is I want to do, or even though I will have to make new friends, or even though I will have to prove myself again, I want you to state on the first breath, even though I don't know. And then you let that breath go as you've stated what it is you don't know. Then, for the second breath, breathe it in and say, I still unconditionally love and accept myself. So the first breath is, even though I don't know how I'm going to make new friends. The second breath is, I still unconditionally love and accept myself. And then that third breath is, and I know exactly what to do about that. So, first breath, even though I have to create an entirely new identity. Second breath, I still unconditionally love and accept myself. Third breath, and I know exactly how to do that. And yes, you can change the wording a tiny bit if that feels right to you, but I want you to use that pattern on all of the statements that you have come up with. And that's why it's kind of a good idea to write them down so you can keep track of them. And then as you move forward in your day, in your week, in your transition, you can go back and you can review those fears and those emotional concerns. And you can use these 3 breaths and this bodily movement to help you integrate the fact that, yes, you are having emotions. Yes, intellectually, you are changing something. And yes, you can still move it through your body physically and integrate it into your being, and you will be fine. So like I said, this is not a traditional meditation hypnosis. It is a working meditation hypnosis. And before we close out, I would like you to close your eyes, because we didn't do that before. And I want you to take just deep breaths without thinking about it. And I want you to relax your physical body and let all of this work integrate. Let all of these shifts take place within your mind, your body, and your soul. And before you open your eyes, before you move into the rest of your day, the rest of your night, I want you to stay here with your eyes closed if you are able. And I want you to feel the peace and the serenity surrounding your transitions. Breathe it in. Affirm your competence. And so it is. Go ahead and open your eyes. Smile. Smiling helps a lot. Use this process whenever you are facing a transition, because I promise it will help you enormously. So, have a fantastic week. Thank you for being here with me, for allowing me to walk you through this work, which, although it might sound simple, is pretty darn deep work. Go drink your water, go relax, go enjoy your transitions. Reach out to me, 303-994-4945, laurachetel.com or laura@pyramidfusion.com. Have a glorious, fantastic, wonderful week, and as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.